does. I don't think he's got like a van or anything like that, a boombox. I think he just wants drugs.
Guy doing what he loved, man.
Jerking off. He's a man.
These guys been touching dinks backstage or what?
Power slam. He's a loser freak.
Man, you think they just did it? Doc is soaking wet. Sable's grinning ear to ear.
I think they just did it.
Hey. What are you wearing?
Don't press two for dirty talk with Doc.
Take it off.
I ain't looking to wrestle that fat bastard. I came to fight him. Yeah, kill guy with the blowhorn. Hailing from space.
It's not cute. It's not fun.
The only thing I like him for is to watch him get hit in the head with a steel chair. Don't cheer the adulterer.
Val gets more tail than a toilet seat.
Power slam!
Pierce.
Judgment Day.
This is mine, you son of a bitch. You don't have this anymore.
Not good. Not good at all. The whole show has felt like a raw.
Undertaker, are you okay?
When he humped the flag, you liked it?
Jesus. Well, you got to get dumping all of a sudden, man. Dale Earnhardt, moment of silence.
Looking into a commemorative plate collection.
Miss him every day.
This one's for you, Dale.
And it's legal in Canada. In association with the Shining Wizards Network, Gorilla Ring Wrestling Podcast presents...
You're of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke the Dumpster Bags.
A serpent of pleasure. And some Kevin.
And today we're going to be covering WWF Breakdown in your house. This is the 24th in your house. And this is episode 7 of season 10. So we're at the halfway point, man.
That's cool. I wish the halfway point had a better fucking event to watch.
Not a huge fan of this one, huh?
No, it's bad. And they only did one breakdown, didn't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense, because it fucking sucks. This was like a labor, man. This was a labor to get through, which is weird, like... Because you want to remember this time period of wrestling so fondly. But this event was not an easy, like, sit-down and consume type of an event.
Yeah, a lot of it was kind of raw, like, you know, which I remember myself saying one of these previous In Your Houses. Didn't DX have a pay-per-view in that 97 season we did?
Yeah.
Was that a breakdown as well?
I don't think it was a breakdown. I think it was just In Your House, D-Generation X.
Oh, I see.
Was that maybe in the UK, too? Is that a UK gimmick? Wasn't it Michaels versus the Bulldog in the main event?
I think so, yeah. Michaels was kind of the ultimate bad guy there.
Yeah, because I remember that now. He was smooching menores, and he was fucking taking action figures and shoving them in his crank area.
Oh, yeah.
His crotchular region.
Man, what a bad guy.
That is a bad guy thing to do. I don't even think it's like, it's not even like good bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take toys and put them in your trunks.
Well, you're a fig guy. I suppose you take offense to that.
I think you should just as a regular person, though.
But would you bring your fig to the show?
Would I? No, absolutely not. No, the problem is I'm just too concerned something could happen, right? Like, I'm not going to bring it to the show because something could happen to it.
Well, maybe heartbreak's teaching him a lesson, right?
Well, yeah, but the something that could happen to it I would never think was heartbreak's going to fucking jam it next to his dong.
Got to expect anything, man.
I don't think you have to expect anything. Like, I don't think
that's
the thing.
Isn't that the slogan, you know, where anything can happen?
It maybe was at one point, yeah.
That wasn't it exactly, but yeah.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. I remember Vince McMahon saying that a lot, yeah. Maybe it was just a step before then. Like the New Generation time? I think that was... Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation, yeah.
Right. I mean, now, really anything can happen.
Yeah, but anything should not involve a toy next to Jenny's.
Didn't it make you want to hate him, though?
I think I was just more disappointed. I was let down. Yeah.
Oh. Is there a difference? Do you not boo somebody who lets you down as much as somebody you hate?
No. I mean, if I hate them, I'll boo them. But if they just let me down, I'm kind of indifferent. I'm like, you know, I'm just disappointed. I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to go to the concessions. Maybe get myself a t-shirt.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, Heartbreak, he's usually the highlight of the show, man.
Yeah. No, I've seen him wrestle. I've seen him wrestle live. He didn't take any toys. Didn't shove them in his trunks at all.
Well, what do you think of him humping the old the flag?
Like that I don't give a shit about.
You like that?
I mean, I didn't like it. I don't like that. I don't like that you're smiling like that when you ask me that either. I'm like a big ass grin when he humped the flag. You liked it? Yeah. It's a little creepy. You don't have
That's
to smile like that.
That's a pretty good
heel move. No, it's not. I mean, it's not that good. It's not that good.
What do you got against humping all of a sudden, man?
I'm not nothing against it, but it's not like a heel move. It's just a piece of cloth. All right, let's settle down on that. It's just a piece of cloth, right? It could have been a flag of anything. Wouldn't have mattered to me. Yeah, could have been a flag for the state of Arkansas. I don't give a shit. It's just a piece of cloth. It's okay.
A lot of people really take their flag seriously. We're not those kind of guys, but a lot of people do.
Yeah, they really do.
So
and,
you can kind of see the heat, right? Aren't those the people you want to piss off, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to piss off anybody.
But if you did, wouldn't it be the flag guys?
Yeah.
So he was on to something.
Yeah, he had an idea.
But we're not going to see Heartbreak today.
It's a good thing we talked about him then.
Yeah. Gone but not forgotten, right?
Right, of course.
Well, this son of a bitch took place live September 27th, 98, from the Cops Coliseum in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Speaking of Canada, they're doing the DX pay-per-views in Canada, I guess.
Why?
Remember the In Your House DX we were just talking about in Canada?
Yeah, London.
Oh, that was in London.
Yeah, it was a UK situation, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Canada's, you know, they got the Queen.
Canada's London? Okay.
Same thing.
Sure, why not?
Well, man, the show might not be that great.
It's not.
The business is, you know, hot, hotter than hell right now.
hotter than hell.
Man, they're just selling out everywhere. I took a look at, you know, kind of their itinerary, what they've been doing. And everywhere's a sellout. And I got a kick out of this actually because The Rock and Mark Henry, they've been challenging for the tag titles.
Okay.
Like on the house show circuit.
Yeah.
And every match ends the same, with The Rock getting the Nards plow from China. You get like 10, 12 Nards plows in a row.
Yeah.
That's kind of a rough assignment.
Yeah, I suppose it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No wonder why his daughter's such a dipshit.
Damaged goods, makes sense.
Yeah.
But on Raw, it was pretty funny. Michael Cole interviewed this tag team of The Rock and Henry, and Rock tells Cole he's going to smack that $10 toupee off his head.
Cole's got a toupee?
You think he's been wearing a toupee all these years?
No, absolutely not.
You think Rock's just busting his balls?
I think he's just busting his balls, yeah. Because, I mean, you would have noticed if Cole had a toupee. And on top of that, like, we've seen him for so long. Like, you watch his hair thinning.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of a silver fox these days, isn't he?
Oh, is he? You like him? He's sexy? You want to see what he's made of in the sack?
Well, no.
You just call him a fox. You want to take him to the limits?
I don't think so, man. I think he's an aptly married guy. I think I'm going to leave him alone.
That's not what I asked.
Call him a silver fox.
Yeah, all right, you want to test his cardio?
I'll do a few laps with him.
Yeah, all right. Just you, Stu Hart, and Michael Cole, huh?
Yeah, man.
They're spanking each other. All right.
Well, we're in Canada here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just kind of let it all hang out in Canada.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we had the Oddities defeat an LOD when a drunk hawk wanted to dance with the Oddities.
What's disappointing, like, that's how they lost? He danced?
Well, he danced with them, and then Giant Silva chokeslammed him.
Oh. Giant then, Silva, the guy that reminds JR of Andre. I gotcha.
Yeah. So this is definitely a Rusey situation, this whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
You know. You got Al Snow defeating Sergeant Slaughter in a boot camp match to earn a contract.
Yeah, kick ass, right?
You remember that one?
Yeah.
Pretty good?
No. No, but I love Al Snow, so it works out.
I'm glad he got a contract. He's mm-hmm. He deserves it.
He does. Good man.
We had X-Pac defeat D-Lo to win that European title.
The European title doesn't really mean shit to me. Does it mean anything at all to you?
Well, D'Lo Brown, man.
I mean, D'Lo Brown. Him as the European, he is like the Euro champion, right?
Yeah, he's like the Steven Regal of the Euro title, which, I mean, this is kind of like a TV title, isn't it?
Yeah, but like, that's the problem. Like, I don't get why it's a European title. That's the first thing, right? You have a world title. You have an intercontinental title. Why have a European title? That doesn't make any sense to me. Right?
Yeah, they're defending it in the Americas.
Right. And I'm fine with them like having another title, like a TV title would be awesome. But a Euro title doesn't make any fucking sense. It just doesn't make sense. It's just fucking stupid.
I like D'Lo embracing it, being from Helsinki.
Yeah, I mean, I think D'Lo's the Dale Earnhardt of the Euro title.
Dale Earnhardt, moment of silence?
Yeah, of course. Talking about the Intimidator, right?
Oh, man, the Intimidator. Miss him every day.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm looking into a commemorative plate collection.
Oh, man, I should have worn my Intimidator shirt.
Yeah, I should wear my NASCAR suit.
Who sponsored the Intimidator, you remember?
He was Good Wrench, probably.
Good Wrench?
I think so. I actually think I might be right.
Maybe he was a Phillips 66 guy?
No.
No?
No, because Phillips 66 is red. And his car was black.
So he wasn't a Tide guy.
No. I am right. The car that he died in was a Good Wrench car.
Oh, man.
Nailed it.
He did love the Intimidator.
I did, man. I did.
All right. Well, we better give him a moment of silence.
Might have to fire up my NASCAR video game and relive the glory days.
Oh, yeah? He's still a playable driver in there? Oh, legends never die, I suppose.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I gotta create them. Gotta create the legend.
Yeah, he's been gone 25 years.
Oh, 25 years today.
Well, 25 years and about 6 months.
Oh. Seems like
he's died doing what he loved, man.
Jerking off.
In the car?
Yeah.
you ever pull that move?
No, man, I haven't. I haven't. I should, though. I will on the way to the office. This is as a tribute to the Intimidator. This one's for you, Dale.
All right, well, Dale Earnhardt, the Intimidator. 7-time NASCAR Cup champion. The man in black. Moment of silence. Man, I missed Dale, but that was a pretty random moment of silence.
Yeah, you miss him.
Oh, yeah, I miss him.
Of course.
One of the best mustaches of all time.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, of course you miss him. I mean, you have a heart.
But did he ever have any connection with the Federation? Like, at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
He passed away before the old, guest general manager era.
I was gonna say he had a kid that might have shown up on a Raw or something.
Oh yeah,
maybe in the crowd. I don't know.
You see NASCAR guys in the crowd.
Yeah, they're crowd guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Elsewhere, the women's title was reinstated after being on the shelf for like 15 years. Oh, maybe not quite 15, but we actually seen the last time the. Remember with Bertha and Alundra? That was the last time it was around. And Jackie defeated Sable with some help from Marvelous to take home the gold.
Just one match? Not a tournament or anything like that? They just said, hey, we're bringing back the belt, and these two are fighting for it?
I think they're the only two ladies really doing anything right now.
Makes sense, then. Yeah.
We got Val and Marlena making some films together. Oh, yeah.
Oh, poor Dust.
Poor Dust. Oh, man, we got Regal out in the woods being a man's man.
He's a man. I don't know where they were ever going to go with that.
Do you remember this run? Wasn't it?
Oh, like, yeah.
It was short-lived because I think he was still being a doper a little bit, right?
Yeah, he was still doping. But I have no idea where he was going to go with it. Like, I remember him, like, the vignettes. I remember them, like, being excited because I loved fucking William Regal so much. And then he's gonna show up at the Federation as a real man. Like, so far removed from what he was doing before and what worked into this. And, like, when he showed up, he was, like, I believe his first match on Raw, his first televised match, he came to the ring with a hard hat on and like he was wearing jeans and a fucking flannel. He was like, he was essentially dressed like Big Josh.
Man, that is the exact opposite of a blue blood.
Complete different, yeah.
Wow.
Not good.
Didn't last long.
That's the good part about it. You know, I would like a William Regal, man's man action figure, though. That would be pretty badass. It comes with the hard hat and that. Yeah.
Like an axe?
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I don't know if we get to see him this season or not, really, but.
I don't think so.
We were just talking about the TV title. He was the best ever there. I mean, he would have been, and maybe he is at a later date, but he would have been the European title guy, right?
He was, yeah. He got it.
I mean, obvious choice, right?
Right, of course, yeah. But not the man's man, William Regal.
Oh, man's man, I mean. I don't even know what to do with the man's man, really.
Nothing. There's nothing he can do. God, you remember the he was like squeezing oranges to make orange juice and shit? Just the stupid, like, golly. Way to just wreck somebody, right?
Was that his first go around with the
Federation? Yeah.
After he went and got himself cleaned up, I mean, he came back as himself, basically, and one of the great characters of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love him.
But now he's the man's man. Elsewhere, we got Tiger Ali Singh and his manservant, Babu.
Babu?
This is pretty bad. So, like, the rich Asian guy here, Mr. Ali Singh, he would get his kicks from, like, paying folks to do humiliating things like,
$1 million Indian.
Man. Oh, yeah, India's in Asia.
Weird. I don't ever hear anybody call Indians Asians. But you're just talking, like, continent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I never hear that. It's like somebody from like Mexico. You just call him the American fella.
I suppose it's accurate, but...
North America, yeah. Canadian, American gentleman. Weird.
Like most of Russia's Asia as well, which you don't think of Russians being Asian.
No. Fucking strange. Man. Yeah.
World's a weird place, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We got to find a new spot.
Well, they're working on Mars, but... Yeah.
I don't think I like that. Yeah.
Do better than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, one of the... So, this, I think Tiger Ali Singh was on our short list of, like, worst guys of the year, and I don't even know if we're actually going to see him on a pay-per-view.
Okay.
But one of the lowlights on Raw was... So, Babu, he likes his sardines. So, Tiger Ali Singh would, like, bribe a gal in the audience to make out with Babu after he ate a couple cans of sardines. So... Gave her $500.
Yeah, just dumb. Just
would you do it for $500 in 98?
98, $500. And it's Babu?
Yeah.
I don't probably. Hey, who the fuck cares, right?
It's probably like $800-$900 these days.
How much making out do I gotta do though?
That's a good question. Probably 10-15 seconds.
Oh, yeah, golly.
That's some easy money.
That is easy money, yeah. Anybody that says they wouldn't is a dipshit.
You get to keep your pants on. I mean, yeah. not that bad.
No, not at all. It'd be different if they're like, hey, you have to make out with Babu until you get a boner. You got to get a Babu bone.
That would be different.
Right. Now, there's a test for you.
You really want to humiliate somebody, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And finally, Vince has devised a master plan to get the strap off of Stone Cold. Taker and Kane have been teaming up, kicking everybody's asses, and tonight they're taking on Austin for the title. And they can't pin each other. So, handicap match, maybe?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So they've been dubbed the Demons of Destruction. They haven't gotten around to calling them the Brothers of Destruction yet, but that's probably around the corner.
Yeah, makes sense.
Steve says that Austin 666 says he's going to kick their asses at the pay-per-view. So we had three matches. Yeah, 666, man. Get dark. We had three matches contested on Sunday Night Heat with Golga defeating Mosh. The Hardy Boys defeating Kai and Tai. And 8-Ball defeating Mr. Ass and Skull in a triple threat.
What the fuck? 8-Ball took on Skull and Ass?
Huh. Yeah, and won.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. You would Strange. Think that the bangers and the oddities would kind of be natural allies.
I would think so.
Fighting. Yeah,
yeah, they'd be a good addition to that stable, I think.
Think you're right.
Well, we open up with the package. Vince is sick and tired of Steve having the belt. We get some war footage with. They really like showing like Stalin and Mussolini and stormtroopers when. When they want us to know that things are getting serious.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. The intro wasn't. Oh, the fucking graphics, though. The graphics on the intro, when they were like, computer generated or whatever they were. Did that remind you of the fucking the 64 game, the San Francisco Rush? Rush.
Oh, Rush, yeah. The car racing game.
Yeah.
Good times.
That was fucking awesome, right? Yeah, that was a fun game.
That was one of the best, yeah.
Yeah.
This is like prime time 64 time as well, 98.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the package wraps up with Vince saying that Stone Cold screwed Stone Cold. Stridex welcomes us to Breakdown In Your House. So we're going to start off the show with a couple of Canadians here. Owen Hart taking on Edge. I like the looks of this matchup.
Yeah.
Edge is out first, coming in through the crowd. Big ovation for the hometown boy. We got Owen with a big ovation as well. He's got his Toronto Argonaut shirt.
That's a weird pull, man.
The Argonaut? Like,
right. I don't know how big Canadian football is. Like, they obviously have their own league and all that, but I don't know how popular it is. Every time I've watched a Canadian Football League game, the stands are never, it's never like a sellout. So it's weird to be like, I'm going to make fun of the team.
Was he making fun of the team?
Was it an Argonauts jersey? And where are they?
They're in Ontario. So that would be the hometown team.
Oh, weird. So was he trying to, was he trying to be a face?
Maybe. I mean, he's okay. A Canadian, so he's getting some cheers.
Right. But Edge is also a Canadian. And Edge is also a face.
Right.
Fucking strange. Hey, Edge, did you notice this at all? And I put this together while I was watching this. He is, like, sitting on the mat, leaning up against the bottom rope, just kind of sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Is Edge kind of their attempt at a Raven kind of a character?
Like, what about me? What about Raven guy?
More like a mysterious, you know, doesn't say much, doesn't, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's a mysterious guy for sure.
Yeah, I thought that that was my, when I saw him, like, leaning up against the rope. Like, Raven obviously sat in the corner, but he was just leaning up against the rope on, the bottom rope. I was like, God, it's like a Raven thing, but he's not in the corner. And I was like, well, that makes sense. Start putting them together. Like, it's like an early Raven type situation, kind of a knock.
Man. I remember we were both kind of big Raven fans, but like looking back on it, wasn't he just a whiny bitch?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, he was just bitch in the corner.
Yeah.
I still like him.
I still like him though. It's weird. That's weird. Yeah. You're right. He is just a whiny bitch, but for some reason I like him.
Good wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. You think Edge would be better if he started whining a little bit?
I don't think Edge has said anything so far.
Is he just a silent bitch?
Well, I think he's got the mystery and intrigue working for him.
He does have that.
They keep making, like, comments about Gangrel. I don't know if these guys have been touching dinks backstage or what.
Oh, yeah, you think they're boning?
You never know.
Plowing each other's weenies.
Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation.
I suppose you're right.
Man, what do you think of Owen's theme?
It's
The Rock's music.
Yeah.
With Owen Hart sound bites.
Yeah. I hate it.
Hate it.
Owen had fucking awesome music.
It was a good tune. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they gave him that piece of shit song when he came back. And now they give him another piece of shit song. It's just Owen in the background going, I'm not a nugget.
Yeah. They get a nugget chant going.
Oh.
That's kind of the thing. But man, some good wrestling here. I like seeing the wrist locks and the takedowns and reversals. And, you know, we get some monkey flips and drop kicks. And pretty exciting way to start the show out.
Yeah, I mean, it was good back and forth. I mean, that's for sure. These two guys flowed pretty well together. Made you wonder why they didn't work more or have more, you know what I mean, more memorable program. But I guess probably with what's about to happen for Edge is probably the reason why. But they worked really well together. I like the, at one point, Edge comes off the apron down to the floor and I think Owen catches him in a power slam. Power slam! It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was a good power slam.
I think my only real big problem with this was Edge eats an enziguri, and he gets up way too fast. Like Owen hits him with the Enzo, and then Owen starts going up to climbing the buckle, and Edge just gets up way too fast and picks him up in an electric chair drop.
That was quick.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Like. The enziguri is supposed to be a pretty devastating maneuver. And Owen's going to the top, and Edge is just like back up and get and on the offense. So just I didn't like that part of it. The nothing counter into the shooter, I thought that was pretty badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, looked like he was going for nothing, but he stopped short.
Yeah, yeah, it was smart, smart.
And then the crowd erupts.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
He can't get it locked in. And then we see some long-haired hippie freak wandering around the ring.
He's a loser freak, loser freak.
Stares down Edge, providing a distraction. Owen rolls him up, gets the pin and the victory. And then Edge goes out looking for that young mystery man.
Good opener. I had no real, like, just the short sell of the Enziguri was my only real complaint about this match. The roll up was, it seemed like it could have been a little bit, you know, snugger, I guess, a little bit better, smoother, however you want to, you know, it felt a little bit sloppy on the roll up, but, and here's, you know, here's the mystery man. So that's fun. Edge knows who he is. What are you doing here? Why are you here? Roll up and lost the match. I got to go find him now.
Yeah, he's wearing one of the puffy shirts.
Oh, he's a pirate.
I think that's Christian, huh?
Yeah. Edge is like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, good opening match. Love watching Owen Hart. Now we're sent to Doc in the back with Sable. Man, you think they just did it?
Doc Sable is, and Doc?
Doc is soaking wet and Sable's grinning ear to ear. You don't see Sable smiling ever, right? And Doc is soaked.
Jesus Christ. Do I think they just did it?
What do you think Doc's been doing, man, working up a sweat like that?
Well, I think Doc just is always sweating. That's who he is. And think about it now. Like let's break this down for a second. You said Doc is soaking wet and Sable is grinning ear to ear. You think Sable, if she just fucked Doc Hendricks, would be grinning ear to ear?
Well, maybe Doc brings the thunder. I don't know.
Oh, you think he's got, okay.
He was, you know, Mr. Purely Sexy Hayes, right?
Oh boy, I guess I didn't put that in the equation.
He probably had a couple of moves.
Yeah. In my head, he just keeps like going, hey, 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 hey. Golly, dirty talking Doc.
Oh, man, he calls himself Handsome Doc. You catch that?
Yeah, I heard him.
Says he's got the hottest seat in the house next to the sexy, sultry Sable. So he was Handsome Doc before you were Handsome Kevin. You steal his gimmick?
No, I didn't. And he's not handsome. I am.
Man, you were an HK back in 98, man.
I know who I was. And I was HK. Hey, hey, hey! Hey, hey, hey!
They want us to call the Superstars line.
Why? So Doc can dirty talk me? What are you wearing? Why don't you take off that shirt you bought from... I can't even do it. It's fucking so stupid.
I like the Superstars line with the... You know, press 2 for Dirty Talk with Doc. I think that could have been something.
Press 2 for Dirty Talk with Doc.
Pretty good, huh? I'm waiting for that Dirty Talk with Doc, man.
Oh,
we got to come back to it.
What are you wearing? Take it off. Yeah.
Hey.
Are you touching it? Because you know I am. That's it. Yeah, now you touch it too.
Dirty talk with Doc.
You think it's very like professional, the opening too? You press to it, he's like, well, hey. Thank you for pressing two. This is Dirty Talk with Doc.
Oh.
Well, back in the ring here, we got Al Snow and Scorpio teaming up, taking on Too Much. I like this matchup, too. We got Too Much out first, decked out in the purple, pink, and blue tights.
Too Much vests, man. Yeah, they're great.
They're strutting their stuff. We see some footage from last Monday on Raw when Al defeated Commissioner Slaughter in that boot camp match. He and Scorpio come out to a big ovation. Everybody loves Ed. And then JR mentions Al's Avatar and Leaf Cassidy gimmicks. Which is kind of a, they're kind of stepping away from tradition here by...
Yeah, by letting us know.
Letting us know that he was, in fact, the new rocker.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's not like a... You don't need to do that, I don't think. I think we understand. But it's so weird that, like, how beloved Al Snow is, like, right out of the gate. And all he had to do was make, like, a fellatio reference, and everybody's fucking pumped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a mascot, man.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, this is right out of the gate. Yeah. I mean, he just got a contract, and he's...
Away it goes.
Just getting over.
Yeah.
Like a son of a gun. It's pretty hilarious here. There's a Lawler is a diddler sign right on hard cam. I was kind of waiting for him to, I kind of knew they weren't going to address that, but
right,
just right on hard cam.
You can't do that.
We get the head chant to start it off. Every time he raises the thing, like you're saying, it's like magic,
Yeah.
All he's got to do is raise the thing and crowd goes nuts. Nice pump handle follow-away slam from Scotty. And then the Too Much guys squeal and have a questionable embrace in the corner.
Why questionable?
You think they got like a Billy and Chuck thing going there?
No.
You think it's just regular tag team love?
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, you got a problem with that?
Well, no.
Okay. Let's keep it that way.
All right. Christopher gets in there with Al. He mocks him, and then he pays the price with a series of headbutts. You got to love that when he locks the arms and then just headbutts the guy.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, I don't, unless you're from the island, I don't really like headbutts as an offensive maneuver.
You don't?
Nah, not a big fan.
Not even in this variation?
Well, I mean, I think Al Snow gets a pass because it's a pretty sweet move. But just headbutts in general, I don't think that I'm a fan of.
Unless you're Ming or Bob Marion or...
Right.
Island Boys.
Yeah, the Island Boys.
Well, Scorpio gets in there. And then Al goes, gets a chair, throws it to him. He sets it up. Al gets a running start, jumps off it. Nails too high in the corner. And then Scorpio goes to do the same thing. The chair gives out, and he barely makes it to his target. But it works out because he kicks Grandmaster right in the ass.
Yeah.
He falls over. Too high, he headbutts his partner right in the ball bag. Lots of action in this one here.
Times is a little bit too much.
Yeah. It was tough to kind of keep track of everything.
Yeah.
We get super kicks. We get Christopher setting up the chair on the outside, doing a flying man, missing Al. And Al climbing up on the security rail, doing a moonsault. The tide turns as Grandmaster hits a suplex of Scorpio on the outside. And Scotty follows with a splash. And they try to do a backdrop. Scorpio flips out of it, nails a double drop kick. Al gets in there, hits everybody with head. Hits Scotty with the low blow. And then we get several counts that get broken up before the three, before Al connects with the snowplow to get the 1-2-3 and the win. So big melee at the end. We're told that head is legal in Canada. So
yeah. Yeah, I think Jay was really trying to get his, I think Jay was trying to be like a funny guy. It's just like, there was one point, he's like, well, this crowd really loves head. I'm like, JR, that's not who you are. All right. You don't do that.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, head is legal in Canada. I was like, JR, come on. I don't think getting a blowjob's illegal just in general. I think you're all right. Mm. Like, I don't know.
Leave it to King for the funny business, you think?
Yeah. I mean, unless somebody's getting jerked off of the ladder, I think you just. He gets one bit. He gets the jerk off bit. Outside of that, just let it be JR. Tell us where he went to school, what sports he played, you know, who his coach was, those type of things.
Yeah, he's good for that.
Yeah. I mean, not that I want to know any of that shit, but he does. And he wants us to know, so.
Yeah, he wants to know these guys are legitimate athletes, man.
I don't give a fuck.
Well, you're supposed to.
I don't care.
We're set to the back with Michael Cole, with The Undertaker, and Kane. Taker says it's nobody's business who gets the fall, and he and Kane have an understanding. Says we're going to see a total annihilation of one Stone Cold Steve Austin. So not much here.
No.
But next we get Marvelous taking on Draws.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I love Marvelous Mark Mero. Johnny B. Bad, you know, he's my guy. I, throughout this entire match, couldn't determine whether I was disappointed in the match or if it was Draws that was bringing me down. I couldn't get into it. It was bothering me the entire time. There wasn't too much to the match either.
Oh, man, before we get into it here.
Yeah.
You're saying Draws let you down, but he must have been a big influence on you because you had the Draws.
I was waiting to see if you're connecting that.
that was 2002 Daisy Cutters era. You had the little Draws here.
I don't think
he must have been your man, huh?
He wasn't my man. No. I don't think that he actually even factored into my decision to have the Draws. But I did have the Draws, yes.
Well, if it wasn't because of Draws, why'd you end up with the Draws?
Well, because I had the long, hair, right? And I had the buzz underneath, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and it just, became more and more maintenance. I wanted less and less maintenance. So I buzzed it all, but just that little front part and had the Draws.
Huh. Yeah, I thought I recognized that, too.
Yeah, that was me. I think I had a better Draws, though.
Better Draws than Draws?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it brought back some memories.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely forgot that I had the Draws. And funny that you mentioned it, because it got brought up yesterday that I had it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Somebody else remember the Draws?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So I was at a graduation party, and Steak mentioned it.
Oh, yeah. Steak would know the Draws.
Because I was telling the one kid that he's already losing his hair just like his father. And it's like, don't worry, your dad went bald when he was like 18, 19. So you got about 5 years left, and I could already see that your hair's thinning. And then Steak's like, who are you to talk about anybody's hair? And I'm like, you had this haircut. And I was like, motherfucker, that's why I can. I lived it. That's why I get to say.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that that came up.
Yeah, it's weird that it came up yesterday and not today. Yeah.
Good times. Well, yeah, we got Draws out there. He's got the flannel pants, former defensive tackle of the Broncos. JR says he once ate a deer's heart.
Who gives a shit?
And this is his pay-per-view debut. So, like, I kind of get what they're doing with this show. They're throwing, like, a lot of new guys out there. But it does give it, like a Raw kind of feel. Because
the whole thing has felt like a Raw. The whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I put my trust in Uncle Johnny B here.
Yeah.
And he gets a few good spots in, right?
All right.
Does a nice flying man. We're also told that Draws sleeps with boa constrictors. So you think he should have stopped at Broncos?
Just stop. Yeah. Just give it up. The only part that I think I really loved about this match, and this really sucks because I love Johnny B so much, was at one point he takes his trunks and he like pulls them up. And he pulls his trunks like all the way up to his nippies. It was fucking hilarious. Like he was adjusting and he had to adjust all the way up.
Well, sometimes you got to.
I guess.
Full overhaul there. He uses the tape to choke Draws, and then Corderas admonishes Johnny B in the corner, enabling Jackie to nail the rookie with the high heel. Then Merrill goes to the top for what JR calls the Marvelosity. Calls it a scintillating move. So that's like a 450 bit there? Shooting star?
Oh, it was a shooting star, yeah. It just, like, he was already doing that move, remember? They called it the wild thing.
Yeah, it's better than the Marvelosity.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny B gets the win. We get the man with the voice trying to sell us the new DX shirt. Down where? Down here. Oh, yeah.
So I had a... remember when we went to that indie show with the guy that claimed to be Adrian Adonis' kid?
Oh, yeah. Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, I had a sign that said down where, and when I flipped it said down there. It had an arrow pointing down.
Oh, at that show, huh?
Yeah, at that show, yeah. I think I made like three signs, but I think I was the only one that showed up with signs, so I wasn't really flexing them.
Do you have a Rock and Roll Buck sign?
No. I had a Bockwinkle versus Patera sign.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't get your wish that day.
No, I didn't. But they were both there.
Yeah, it was kind of a star-studded affair.
It was, yeah.
One of these days, we're going to have to give like half of those guys a moment of silence.
Yeah, I wonder where the Burglar is now.
I've wondered about the Burglar. You think he ever made it?
I don't know. I got his autograph still.
You think he's locked up?
I was going to say, he might have made it to the penitentiary. Yeah.
The day job, yeah. You ever have that shirt? The DX?
No.
Downwear down here?
Nope. I think I had the green one.
The suck it?
With the green X on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple of them. Wish cool. I still had them.
Yeah, me too. I wish you did too, because I'd take them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you fight for him?
Who'd I got to fight? You?
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
All right. I know I got my NWO shirt.
Well, I think everybody has a fucking NWO shirt.
Well, this is like a fucking 96 NWO shirt, man.
I got one too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You want to fight? Holy shit, I do have, I have a DX shirt upstairs, now I think about it, yeah.
Huh. Man, I was a fool getting rid of some of my stuff.
Yeah, I know.
I have to start hitting some thrift stores, see if some other idiot like me donated their stuff.
Yeah, see if you can come across one of that Sting Russell buddy that you...
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Mm-hmm. couple of bucks there, huh?
Well, next up, we got Bradshaw taking on Vader. Falls Count Anywhere match here. We're told this won't be a scientific affair. We're sent to Cole in the back with Bradshaw, who's gotten a haircut and a shave. What do you think of cleaned up Bradshaw, man?
I like Bradshaw. And this isn't like probably my favorite version of him. But I think he told the story on one of his shows that the reason why he shaved is because he couldn't, like, Vader punched him. And he couldn't get the fucking smell of Vader's, like, gloves off of his, like, out of his fucking, like, his mustache and beard. Like, so that's why he went clean shave.
That's pretty funny.
That is funny, yeah. And he ain't looking to wrestle that fat bastard.
He came to fight him.
I came to fight him. I ain't looking to wrestle that fat bastard. I came to fight him.
Survival of the fittest, not survival of the fattest, he says.
It ain't survival of the fattest. Fat bastard.
He gets an early advantage on the fat bastard. Connected with a nice slam. Vader makes a comeback using his mask to his advantage. Here we get a Bradshaw big boot. We got, man, I start noticing it pretty prominently here. The guy with the blowhorn.
Yeah.
If you're sitting next to a guy with the blowhorn, you do everybody a favor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, kill guy with the blowhorn.
You show him what it's like.
Yeah.
Because blowhorn guy, from here on out, it's like his mission to ruin this fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need much help, but throw a blowhorn guy in there and...
Yeah, it really goes down, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like every time there's like a blowhorn guy anticipates a big spot,
mm-hmm.
you get the blow.
Ugh, horrible.
Just junk. But they battle to the floor. Vader gets slammed into the post, takes a big clothesline, and then Bradshaw grabs the ring bell, drills him with it. So these guys were tag team partners last month.
Yep.
I remember you threw out the idea of having like Bradshaw throw on a Vader mask.
Yeah, why not?
That would have been a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked it.
They would have
dominated. It's probably a Bradshaw thing, isn't it? Because, like, Terry Funk has got to go on, he's got to take a couple months off. He's got to recharge his batteries. Right? Didn't he tagged with, was it Scorpio?
Yeah,
tagged with Taka, tagged with Vader. So it's got to be the common denominator, right? It's JBL, so it's a him problem.
Oh, Bradshaw's an asshole for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes to fight.
I'm going to fight that fat bastard.
Yeah, he doesn't get along well with others.
No. It's weird to watch Vader bumping around for Bradshaw. Like he did a lot of bumping around, which I didn't necessarily care for in this match. Like I mean, Vader's a big dude. JBL's a big dude too, but like just to watch Vader bump around, I didn't fucking necessarily love that.
It takes away some of the whole deal with a guy that big.
Right. Yeah. And fucking JR being a dick was like, well, Vader's had his problem with his weight. He's had some weight issues. It's like, fuck you, JR. You've had weight issues, bitch.
Right. It's like a pot calling the kettle black kind of thing there.
Yeah. So I didn't like that. I was surprised, like, Vader did the second rope splash, and then he got the Vader bomb in, and JBL kicked from the Vader bomb. He hit him with two fucking clotheslines from hell. Two of them. Mm-hmm. And then finished Vader with a neck breaker. And I was wondering, like, I don't remember him using a neck breaker as a finish. So I don't know if it was just this one. And, like, there was nothing special in my mind about the neck breaker that he delivered. Like, the clothesline from hell was obviously much more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But he hit him with two and then hit him with a neck breaker. So, do you remember Vader, or not Vader, Bradshaw using a goddamn neck breaker as a finish?
No, I didn't remember that.
No.
I think he's just looking for something. They probably haven't, like, accepted that clothesline from hell could be, like, a finisher, which it absolutely is.
Yeah.
and will be in the future. But no, it's like a rude awakening neckbreaker. I don't
kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember him doing it, but yeah. I mean, we get Vader with a nice dick kick on JBL, and I didn't really. Yeah, like you said, right out of the gate, he slammed Vader, and then he's kicking out of Vader's splashes. Wasn't a big fan of that, but nevertheless, JBL picks up the victory. JR tells us to keep our eyes on that young man.
Don't tell me what to do, JR. You fat bastard.
They're sent back to Kevin Kelly, who's with Dr. Tom and Jason Sensation. They're talking about watching the show on WWF.com. And then Sensation goes through his impersonations.
He does a good job.
Pretty good rock. Yeah. He does the Road Dogg, Double J, Undertaker, does the whole gamut.
The only one that I didn't know who he was doing was when he was doing the Jarrett. I had no idea he was doing Jarrett when he was doing Jarrett.
Mm.
But outside of that, he was fucking hitting him out of the park. He did a great job.
Yeah, I don't think he lasted too long.
No.
He could have been an asset.
Why?
Like a decoy, right?
How?
Well, he can impersonate anybody, man.
So what are you going to do with him?
Oh, you come up with an evil scheme.
Over the telephone?
Oh, yeah.
That's not very good for TV.
Well, you see guys talking on the phone on TV sometimes.
Yeah, but then, like, the reveal would be it's Jason. Sensation.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think he's funny.
You're going to bamboozle somebody, man.
He's not even really that funny. He just does the impressions, I guess.
But
I don't know. They're like there was no character for him. Like, he's just a guy that can talk like the wrestlers. That's it.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, he was going to be like a commentator?
Yeah, could have been a commentator, I guess.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't dislike him, but I don't think there's anything there.
You ever watch along that WWF.com?
No.
Well, next up, we got D'Lo taking on Gangrel. Gangrel's pay-per-view debut. D'Lo is introduced as the former European champ who is once again residing in Chicago. I guess he moved back from Finland.
That's good.
We're showing him losing that title last week. And we get the dark red lights and the smoke. And out comes Gangrel with his goblet. JR says, fucking JR. He says he's allegedly living that gothic lifestyle. Just the way he says stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also said that red viscous liquid again.
Oh, it's all about the viscous.
What the fuck, man? Can they... Why... Why do they have to say red viscous liquid?
Well, it's like making you look up what viscous is.
I'm doing it right now.
And that ain't good for TV either.
Viscous. Oh, weird.
He takes a big pull off his goblet and spits it in the air. Is it blood and shit?
Viscous?
Yeah.
Viscous is any large internal organ.
All right.
The plural form is viscera.
Oh, shit.
Huh.
Figured it out.
Common examples are heart or lungs. Weird. So it's lung liquid?
I think it's some blood and, you know, probably mostly blood with some other fluids mixed in.
Huh. Gross.
Well, he loves the stuff.
Yeah, he does.
You know?
Yeah, he's still doing it today.
Man, I like his goblet, though.
It's not a bad goblet.
You got a goblet? Like a number one?
You know, I used to have one. Used to have like a chalice, but not so much anymore.
Yeah. Pops, he used to love chalices.
Yeah. I mean, I did. But I guess I just, you know, grew up. I don't know.
I don't think I got a chalice to my name right now, actually.
I know that I don't. Yeah.
That's too bad.
I got like a water bottle.
Oh, yeah. Those are cheap, man.
Yeah. Maybe I'll look into it. Probably not, though. It seems pretty dumb to have a big ornamental cup just to, you know, have a glass of water.
Well, if you're drinking like viscous liquid, though.
But I'm not. I'm not. Not going to do that.
What about for your, like, fancy drinks?
My fancy drinks?
Yeah, don't you like your fancy botanical, radical sabbatical
botanical
beverages?
Gotcha, my botanical radical sabbatical sparklers, huh?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you think they taste better out of a goblet?
Nah. Oh, no, it's a goblet? I thought we were talking chalices.
They're pretty closely related, aren't they?
I think they're probably cousins. I think that a chalice is much more, you know, ornamental. Whereas a goblet, I think, is a little bit, it's a step back.
You think so?
You know, yeah, a chalice is like high class. And a goblet is like upper middle class.
Okay. I didn't realize it was a class thing.
Yeah, it is.
Huh. We're told that D'Lo has had that chest protector on since June. So we're about 3-4 months into this injury now. And JR ain't buying that he still needs it.
I don't give a... Golly, JR. You know, sometimes he really bothers me.
Well, D'Lo, he gets off to an early advantage to some yelling and head shaking. Tells us we better recognize. And Gangrel goes for a double underhook reverse suplex and gets kicked right in the dick. And D'Lo connects with that big running P-bomb, and the crowd loves it. And I got to ask you here. So far, right, we're almost at the halfway mark. Is D'Lo your guy of the year?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And it's weird to say that with, like, we know what Steve's doing and what he, you know, what he meant, especially during this time period. But, yeah, fucking D'Lo's my guy.
I think for wrestling, yeah, he might be the best here so far. I mean, not just the wrestling, the personality.
The whole package, man.
He's a stud.
Yeah.
Gangrel goes for a DDT, can't connect. We're told Bradshaw's on that Superstars line. Kids better get your parents' permission.
Don't press two.
No, do not press two. D'Lo connects with a headbutt right to the ball bag. We got two headbutts to the ball bag already in this show.
Yeah, and a straight dick kick.
Yep. Yep.
By Vader. Fucking dumb.
Man, nice T-bone torture rack type of throw. Gets a two, yells at Corderas to count faster. And then King pokes fun at a Hulkamania sign in the crowd. And Gangrel goes for that stun gun drop and... Looks like he drops D'Lo a couple feet short of the rope. And we get a big clothesline from the top from Gangrel, and Mark Henry wanders out there, holds the rope down. As Gangrel goes off it, he ends up tumbling to the outside, then Henry picks him up, rams him into the post, while D'Lo distracts the ref. D'Lo connects with the lowdown to pick up the win and give Gangrel his first loss.
This is the best match so far. And I think it's, you know, Gangrel's pretty damn good. D'Lo's a stud, so it makes sense.
With the shit finish, best match, huh?
You know, I don't love shit finishes, you know that about me, but I do love D'Lo Brown.
After the bell, Gangrel spits some of that viscous liquid in Henry's face, then grabs his goblet and heads to the back as that badass brood theme plays. We get sent to Raw last week, where there was a triple threat match for the number one contendership. It was interrupted by Kane and Taker. Sounds like we had Cornette and Shane O'Mac in the booth. Because we didn't get a winner in that one, we're going to have a rematch tonight inside a steel cage. So we got a triple threat between Mankind, Shamrock, and The Rock for the number one contendership. You got Michael Cole standing by with Shamrock. And he's going to go as far as it takes. Oh, yeah.
No.
Came here to be the champion. Be ready to knuckle up, he says.
He's so bad.
Yeah, especially put him up next to his couple opponents here.
Yeah.
Kind of no comparison.
They should not. They put the three of them up, right? All three of them get a little speaking, little situation here. Mm. And they start with Shamrock because he's the worst. But he ends up looking so much worse after, like, he's up and then you get fucking Mick and Rock after him. Horrible. Mm. They should have just said, no, you're not talking.
Well, Doc is with the Rock. Rock says he don't give two pieces of monkey crap about Kenny. Calls his opponents a couple of monkey asses. Says he's going to leave the smackdown on both of them. Going to raise the people's eyebrow, drop the people's elbow, and climb the people's cage. Talks about the millions and millions of Rock's fans chanting his name. And that he's going to forever be the people's champion. Man. So Rock was really only in the, what, about 5 years maybe? Where he was like a full-time superstar.
Yeah, I mean, probably about that. Maybe a little bit longer.
But, man, he made his mark real quick.
Yeah.
Right? He's got 10 catchphrases here. And we've been talking about this leading up to this. Now he's really getting cheered. But
yeah.
He's been talking like he's a fan favorite for months.
Yeah.
And then the fans just catch up with him. It's rare you see something like that happen.
You're right.
Yeah.
I did question why he said sugar in the testes.
Oh yeah, I didn't make note of that, but I heard it.
It's weird, right? Like, are you supposed to have sugar in your testes?
I hope not.
I don't think so, right?
No. It's something like frosted testes.
Frosted testes. I don't know about that.
Isn't that like a new cereal or something?
Could be. Could be. I know it's what you have for breakfast every morning.
They got to be frosted.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Of course. We got Kevin Kelly with Mankind. He wants to know what he's looking for. Mankind says he's looking to end world hunger, but he doesn't expect to achieve that in this match. Talks about stupid things like breaking JoJo Miller's guns, watching a grown man urinating on an electric fence. Takes a jab at President Bill, but says that all those stupid things pale in comparison to the people's elbow. I like this.
I was shocked that he said that he wasn't going to sell that abortion.
Yeah, they're getting pretty real here.
Like, and even like using the terminology sell in a promo. You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
That shocked the hell out of me.
Says you're even stupider than you look if you think he's going to sell for that. He talks about training inside the museum with spaceman Frank Hickey.
You know who that is?
He was a wrestler.
Okay.
He came from space.
Nice. Yeah. That's a pretty good, like... Like, I know parts unknown, right, is one thing, but, like, if you'd be like, I'm from space, you can't really top that.
I'd probably take space over parts unknown.
Yeah. Hailing from space.
That's pretty good. It,
we all kind of are.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're kind of part of space.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Final Frontier. Well, we hear the Fink. Nice to hear from him. He tells us how you win this thing. I know you don't like it's going to be a pinfall submission or escape in the cage kind of thing.
Ain't it?
Ken's out first. He's really had the Rock's number this year. Beat him 3 times. Mankind's out next. The crowd is behind him. See a lot of signs supporting the Micker.
Yeah.
We're told this is the first ever triple threat match in a cage. Rock's out to a big pop as well. And Foley starts off sitting in the corner while Kenny and Rock go at it. Then Mick tries to sneak out of the cage. right away. That's pretty smart. I like that. Quite the look Foley has here. Now it's a classic look, but it was new at this time.
Yeah.
Right? He's got his Mankind getup. The classic Mankind getup. With the Dude Love shirt over it, with the, you know, with the button-up shirt that isn't buttoned, with the tie.
Yeah. He's figuring it out.
Oh, yeah, he's getting her together. We get the Rocky chant. We're told Shamrock is tougher than a $2 steak. And once again, we're reminded that he, you know, ran away from home and he slept in cars.
Yeah.
You feel sorry for him yet?
Still don't care, no. No. I think, like, if he was better, I might have felt sorry for him, but because he's not, I don't.
He is kind of the weakling here, but he's been the guy getting pushed, you know. But yeah. Mick and Rock have just got themselves to main event status here pretty quick. They really overshadow Ken, who, I mean, he gets the ankle lock locked in a few times, but it's tough to pull off in a triple threat match, any kind of a submission.
Yeah, you really got to incapacitate one guy enough to lock in the submission on the other guy.
And you got to hope the other guy don't sneak out, you know.
Right, yeah. Not a good situation.
And we get a double suplex from Ken and Mankind. And then Mick waves to the crowd. Just a happy camper out there. So Rock downs him with the DDT and then connects it with the DDT onto Shamrock. Slams Mankind, goes for the elbow pad, and delivers a double people's elbow, and the crowd goes nuts. He climbs the cage but gets knocked off, straddles the top rope on the way down. And Rock lands a Nards plow onto Shamrock, connects with the Rock Bottom to Mankind. And, man, that guy with the horn has to go.
Yep. Absolutely, man. I don't think they let you have those in the crowd anymore.
No, and
like smart.
I mentioned earlier, if he's your neighbor, it's not cute. It's not fun.
No.
Somebody's got to tell him what it's like. Because he's not only ruining it for the 18,000 in the Ontario Dome there, he's ruining it for us.
Yeah, big time.
Because I'm kind of into this match. There's a lot of action happening here.
Yeah.
We get a Shamrock Sucks chant. And he connects with the belly to belly. Mick goes climbing, makes it to the top, and Rock grabs him by the hair. Now they're both straddling the top of that cage. Shamrock goes up after him, gets kicked down. Rock gets kicked down, and then Micker goes for a big splash from the top of the cage and misses. King exclaims, "What did he do that for?" Because he could have escaped, right? And then JR reminds him about, you know, he hitchhiked to this, you know, to Madison Square Garden, and he had a flashback. So he had to do the snooka.
He didn't have to.
No, he should have won the match, man.
Yep.
Well, Shamrock tries crawling up. Mankind grabs him. We got a chair sitting right outside the cage entrance for some reason. You see that?
Yeah.
Was somebody sitting there?
No, I think they just needed it there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Ken grabs it. Swings at Mick, hits the cage. Mankind connects with the double arm DDT. Nails Shamrock right in the face. He loves his unprotected chair shots.
That makes me happy, seeing him get fucking just crushed in the dome. Yeah.
You like that?
I do like that.
Does that get you in the zone?
A different kind of zone, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe a press two kind of a zone.
Dirty talk with Doc zone.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mankind goes climbing over the top of the cage, but the Rock gets the cover before he makes it to the floor and gets the three count. So the Rock's a bloody mess. Mankind thinks he won. JR breaks the news to poor Mankind. He rips out some hair. The Rock is the number one contender. I like that finish, man. This might sound a little crazy, but this is a match of the year contender so far.
That does sound crazy.
Haven't had too many five stars. Probably none, actually.
Right. So I didn't I didn't dislike the match. It didn't grip me by any stretch. And the finish, I don't know if I like it or not. Like I've kind of gone back and forth. It was more creative than I expected it to be. In that, you know what I mean? In that moment where it's the 1-2-3, Mick drops on the outside. But I hate having pinfall and submission in a cage match. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the drawback of it to me is that like, okay, here's this finish that wasn't a bad finish. I think it was well done. But it's still a fucking pinfall in a cage match, which I hate. So it was a good enough match though. Like I say, I didn't dislike the match in its entirety. I don't think it's a, it didn't open up my eyes, right?
No, you didn't see the light?
No. I don't like Ken Shamrock. Don't like him. He's not good. He's not good on the stick. He's not good in the ring. The only thing I like him for is watching him get hit in the head with a steel chair.
He takes a good chair shot.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, The Rock is the number one contender. We get the guy with the voice narrating some destruction and plug in our next show live in 3 weeks. We got Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
Meanwhile, Shamrock is snapped. He grabs a chair, does a lap around the ring before power walking to the back. And then we get a package for the Dustin Val feud. Pretty controversial here.
I don't know why. This should not be controversial. Right, this should not be controversial whatsoever. Fucking Dustin's the good guy, right? Val is the bad guy, but for some reason,
well, he's not though. That's why it's controversial.
That's what doesn't make any sense. This should be pretty easy, right? This should be pretty easy. You have a guy who's a nice guy who's turned his life around, right? Who's and I don't even take the religious part of it out of the equation. He's trying to do good things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees his wife boning a dude. And people are cheering, that guy? The adulterer?
Yeah, man. Moral decay of society right there.
Don't cheer the adulterer.
But it's Val, man.
But that doesn't make it okay. That's not like, but it's Val.
Are you in a tough spot here, being a Val guy?
Me? I mean, I like Val Venus. Like, he's a funny character and stuff like that. But let's think about this. First, it was Mrs. Yamaguchi-san, right?
Right.
Then he almost got his dick cut off.
He did not learn his lesson.
No. And now he's going after Mrs. Runnels.
Mrs. Runnels?
I thought about doing a JR there because whatever you say, Ronald, it kind of sounds like JR is going to say it anyway. So I was going to do it, but I didn't. I call him Mr. Ronald. So, like, why are we cheering for this son of a bitch?
I don't know, man. They're booing Dustin, cheering the Valbowski.
Yeah, not Val, okay.
Val made a film with Terry called The Preacher's Wife because, Dustin's been preaching. Preaching against, the genitalia and adultery and fornication on the TV.
Right.
But yeah, man. I mean, I feel for Dustin here. I want to cheer him on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. In a regular world, we would want Val to get his ass kicked.
Right.
And we'd also want this Jezebel to get hers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
So I decided to cheer for Dustin.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, Val comes out with the mic, says, "Here she comes." Up comes Marlena, and they do some dancing, and she yanks off the towel. King says Val gets more tail than a toilet seat.
That's kind of gross, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're on classic, the same page.
Classic toilet talk, yeah. Well, Dustin gets on her knee to say a prayer. And then Val connects with the spine buster, goes to work on Ronald's. They battle the outside, then back in, and Dustin gets some offense in. We see Val with a pair of kitchen sinks and a Russian leg sweep before doing a thrust and a mount onto Dustin. He locks in a camel clutch on the outside. Val slams Dustin's face into the table. We see Terry looking lustfully at Val with her wedding ring prominently displayed. Just trashy. This is a Roosie for sure.
Yeah.
This whole deal.
Yeah.
I remember Roosie saying, like, well, you do, you know, I might have to ask Roosie to do a guest spot here, but talking about, like, he watched a lot of Jerry Springer, you know, and that's where he got his ideas for a lot of this shit. This is some classic Springer stuff here. Dustin, poor Dustin can't seem to get more than two moves in a row.
Yeah, and like JR said, like, oh, he's off his game and stuff like that. It's like, well, yeah, his wife's outside the ring cheering against him. Like, it's not okay. It's not good stuff.
But he does do a callback, though, so I got to ask you this. You remember way in the Wayback Machine, season two, right?
Okay, yeah.
97-98.
Yeah.
When Dustin went a little crazy and left his family.
Yeah, I remember
this,
that.
Is this like a payback thing? Is this a long-term story deal? Or
No, golly, no. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, you know, he's going through some shit, and he got it figured out. He's on the other side of his shit now. But he did, didn't he? He did.
He was ball gag, man.
Yeah. I don't know. He figured it out, though, eventually.
See, but I remember, I think that all started because, like, Pillman and Marlena were, you know, doing the thing. So maybe,
that's right, yeah. The problem really seems to be Marlena, doesn't it?
Oh, she's a Jezebel for sure.
Right.
JR tells us as much.
She is. The crowd chants, "Take it off at her." That's funny.
Yeah, she's out there in the... Got a nice blue getup on. She consoles Val after Dustin throws Val to the outside. Never really seen that one before. So they get like in the turnbuckle for a superplex type of situation, and then Dustin just like shoves Val and he goes flying off, nails the apron on his way down.
Yeah, I was waiting for the superplex to happen, and then all of a sudden they just drop Dustin on his face on the apron. That wasn't bad.
And Dustin connects with the Bulldog. Makes a cover that should have been a three, but the ref doesn't count the three. And it doesn't look like Val put his shoulder up. What do you think happened here?
Hard to say.
Even after what would have been the three count, Val doesn't put his shoulder up.
Right. I don't... it might be one of those situations where, like... The referee knew what the finish was, and he knew that wasn't it, so he's like, ah, fuck, I'm not going to come. there's no point to this anyways.
Val's just laying there, making it look like shit.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. We get some boos. I would have booed, too.
Yep.
Val connects with the power slam.
Power slam!
And hits three elbow drops, goes to the top, shakes his junk, and connects with the money shot to get the pin and the win.
It wasn't a bad match, I guess, necessarily. I just didn't give a shit. Like, I just did not give a shit about it. After being like, why are the crowds cheering for Val? And why aren't they cheering for Dust? At that point, I was like, I don't care about this anymore.
He and Terry start getting after it afterwards. Not either of their best work, but not a bad match.
Yeah.
We see Double J nailing his former roadie with the guitar a couple of times on Raw. They were showing a melee from earlier tonight when Southern Justice and Double J got the better of DX. Next, we got DX taking on Southern Justice and Double J in a six-man tag team match. We got Justice and Double J out first. So he's got a shirt that says, "Don't pee star, star, star me off."
Yeah.
So that's a "don't piss me off."
Should be, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I had the fig that said "don't tick me off."
Yep.
Right? It must have been like a Walmart special.
Yeah, well, they didn't want to, you know, a toy to say piss, I guess. Peels. Can't write peels on a toy.
Well, what's wrong with peels?
Can't write peels. It's a cuss, I think.
Peels a dirty word?
Yeah. P.L.S. is a cuss.
P.L.S.
You can't have cuss on a toy. Yeah.
And also
that would have been funny if they just wrote cuss. Don't cuss me off.
Or swear.
Yeah, don't swear me. Yeah, that wouldn't be bad either. Yeah, I like those options.
Yeah. Well, the European champion X-Pac and tag team champions New Age Outlaws are out next. And the Outlaws blindside their opponents clear the ring. Ass grabs the mic, does the two words for you a bit. Jarrett's got the short hair, and we're reminded of that hair versus hair match at SummerSlam where the Clipper ran out of juice. X-Pac connects with a P-bomb on Jarrett early on. Makes the tag to the Road Dog, lands a reverse atomic drop, and does his shimmy shake drop on his former... would he be his former boss?
Yeah, I think so.
He was the roadie? Yeah.
Yeah.
We never really got a satisfying conclusion to that.
Yeah, I don't think we ever will.
Well, they're both still around. They could do us a favor, come back, put it to bed. You know?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Solve who was, you know, the real Double J once and for all.
You know, it's funny. I don't... Why is it Double G? Why has Road Dogg got two Gs?
Well, Snoop Dogg had two Gs.
That's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Follow-up question. On his pants, it says R and then X and then D-O-double-G. And RX is kind of a universal like symbol for prescriptions, right? You think he's telling people?
Yeah, didn't Mr. Armstrong have a little bit of a problem?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you think he's telling people? Like he's to cry for help?
Telling on himself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I've been there.
I'm looking at him going, huh. I'm pretty sure that's a pill thing, Mr.
So it said RX, and then it said what?
Dog.
Oh.
So the X, I'm sure, is for, you know, DX, and the R is probably going to be for road, but it says RX dog.
Huh. Just sliding in there.
Yeah. Yeah, sneaky, right? I know what he's doing. So like, fuck pills.
You don't think he's trying to like influence the kids in a negative fashion, are you? Do you?
You know, I don't think he's trying to influence the children at all.
No?
No, no. I think he just wants drugs.
Oh,
yeah. I don't think he's got like a van or anything like that, a boombox. I think he just wants drugs.
Well, that's better than a van or a boombox.
Yes, it is.
Man, it's still strange seeing them hog farmers with their fancy vests and pants.
Yeah. I don't like it. It's not as good. The Godwins are not, or the Southern Justice is not as good as the Godwins. And they're fucking like, they're using their name now. I don't like that either.
Yeah, I'm sick of hearing Mark Canterbury.
Yeah. Hate it.
And Dennis Knight, the future Naked Midian.
Yeah, not as good.
Canterbury connects with the wheelbarrow slam. Jarrett locks in a sleeper and X-Pac. X-Pac is in there for quite a while. He finally gets out of that Double J sleeper, connects with belly to back. Ass gets the hot tag, and JR calls him the best athlete in all of the WWF. All of it. He connects with a big gorilla press slam before taking a tumble to the outside. X-Pac gets in, it's Bronco Buster on Double J. And then Jarrett grabs the guitar. Ass gets it from him. And Tim White takes it away. And then Jeff creeps around ringside, bashes that guitar over Pac's head. Meanwhile, Billy connects with the Famouser to pick up the win.
Pac's
holding his eye as the guys in the booth are concerned that he's got a splinter in his eye from that guitar.
Yeah, oh well. I don't know why you go guitar to Pac and then badass with the asser to win. Just seems like a weird, you know what I mean, like a weird setup, I guess. And no point was I really super into this match either. It didn't, like, there was nothing too cool about it to me. And, like, there wasn't really a feud between the Jarrett, the Justice, and DX that really went on for much time or anything like that. And it wasn't going to be. Fucking the Southern Justice kind of sucks. Like, I thought, like, you know, clean them up a little bit, get them out of the pig pen. It might be a little bit better, but the more I watched them, I was like, I want them to go back to being farmers again.
Right. Maybe get Hillbilly Jim back.
Yeah. Yeah. Be happy.
A couple of slot buckets.
Yeah. So this wasn't for me, which is kind of a trend in this show, I think.
So you would take like happy Godwins with the t-shirts under their overalls? Or did you like the nasty Godwins who didn't have t-shirts under the overalls?
I like the more family friendly Godwins, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Like this is like a Raw main event.
Yeah, it's basically
six man.
The whole show has felt like a Raw.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we got a main event here. We'll see if this can save the day. I got a feeling it's not going to.
Nope.
I don't think it's the worst show of the year, but it's towards the bottom so far. We got Kane and The Undertaker taking on Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple Threat for the world title. Once again, Kane and Taker are prohibited from defeating each other. And if anybody interferes on Stone Cold's behalf, he loses the title. We see how we got here with Taker and Kane tearing everybody apart, much to McMahon's delight. And Vince is sick of Stone Cold being the champion. I believe Austin has been the champion this whole season, except for a day.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, just the Kane first blood.
So we're showing earlier on Heat where a ring worker was setting up a cage and it turned out to be world champion Stone Cold Steve Austin in disguise.
Yeah, I remember that.
They gave Vince the business. So we got Kane out first, followed by Big Brother Undertaker, who comes out to that rocking theme. I think that's the soon-to-be Ministry of Darkness theme.
Okay, I'm with you.
As Taker's walking out, Austin blindsides him with a chair in the entryway and goes to work on Kane. That's really how you got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going up against Kane, essentially going up against Kane and Taker, you got to try and figure out some way to get after him early. And he did it with a chair. Pre-match. Smart.
Mm-hmm. And he does a pretty good job for most of this match. Austin does it, you know, disposing of one guy while he's kicking the other guy's ass.
It's got to be tiring.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why he's the world champion, man.
Mm-hmm.
Austin rams Kane's ball bag right into the post.
I think it was right before that. Steve throws Taker into the steps, and fucking you hear a fan go, "Undertaker, are you okay?" Just caught me off guard because I, you know what I mean? Like, you don't think people are going to ask the Undertaker if he's okay. But he did, like, the fan, like, it sounded like there was so much, like, compassion in his voice and, like, want to make sure that he's all right. Undertaker, are you okay? it was fantastic. And then, what was it, JR, when Steve rams Kane's ball bag into the post, JR's like, well, I have to worry about Undertaker being an uncle or something. Like, I was like, what the fuck, man? That's a weird, like, why do you go right there, right? Why do you go right there? Undertaker being an uncle because Steve rammed Kane's ball bag. Couldn't you be more concerned about Kane ever being a father rather than Undertaker ever being an uncle? And given this family history, do you want either one of these motherfuckers having children?
Probably not.
Exactly. Dipshits.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got King right next to him to make those quips.
Yeah.
But, man, he hits a stunner on Kane. Taker breaks up the pinfall and connects with that big flying clothesline onto the rattlesnake. Austin answers with the Luthez. And then back on the outside, Austin chokes Kane with the cable. And then Taker comes out and chokes out Austin with the cable. The brothers slam up face first on the announce table. And back in the ring, Kane and Take continue the beatdown. And some of Vince's stooges are seen coming out there. They battle up the entryway again, and I write, this one isn't that good.
No. this is a pretty fitting main event for the type of show that we've been watching. And even like in the main event itself, wasn't very entertaining. I did laugh super hard when it seemed like almost out of nowhere, Steve just decided to charge Briscoe. It seemed like he was engaged with Take and Kane there, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Nope, I'm going after Briscoe." that made me laugh. But yeah, this is not. You're right. This is not good. Not good at all.
So now it's kind of a 5-on-1 with the Stooges there.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah.
But I did like I was saying, the first like 5 minutes of this match where Austin was managing to, you know, take on one guy while the other guy was, you know, kick one guy's ass at a time. But eventually it was going to catch up to him.
Right.
And then Taker and Kane, they don't want to allow each other to get the win. So we got a little bit of dissension here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I want to be champion, right?
Well, everybody wants to be champion.
That's what I'm saying.
Austin's not done yet, though. He gets a hold of a chair, clobbers Kane in the face. Taker gets the chair, breaks up the pin, goes for a pin of his own, and we get Kane breaking it up. And then Kane goes for a pin. Taker breaks it up. After a little squabbling, the Demons of Destruction appear to be back on the same team here. And once again, they battle inside the ring, outside the ring. They go in and out like 5-6 times.
Yeah.
And nothing too notable happens, really. Austin goes for a stunner on Kane, but gets thrown into Taker, who gives him a boot. Brothers then connect with the double choke slam, and they both cover him to get the win.
Yeah, and then Briscoe runs and grabs the title, gives it to Vince, and then Vince takes off. Like, what a horrible way to end the fucking main event, with both guys pinning him and not awarding anybody the belt. Vince gets the belt, he takes off. Steve goes and chases Vince. He sees Vince, just like Vince is standing outside of his limo, like halfway in, halfway out, going, "This is mine, you son of a bitch. You don't have this anymore." And he leaves, and that's the end of the fucking show. Horrible ending to what felt like a very underwhelming and disappointing show.
Yeah, not a great show. I kind of like the Canadians in that first match, and I also kind of like the Too Much and Snow and Scorpio match, yeah, and that triple threat cage match, so it wasn't all shit for me.
Right.
But definitely on the lower end of shows. It just felt like a SmackDown or a Raw.
Yeah, nothing felt special about it. Just nothing. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very disappointing. Like I said, that main event was very underwhelming. A horrible fucking way to end a pay-per-view. Horrible way to end a pay-per-view. You would expect that to be like the end of a Raw. And that's why, like, nothing felt special about this show at all. So it was disappointing. It was disappointing. But we got one next that might be better.
It's like kind of a reverse of what you would expect, which I guess is Rusev's whole deal. Because now we got to tune into Raw to see what happens, right? Whereas you know what I mean? Or you got to tune into the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what do we got Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Yeah, man. It's I'm looking forward to this. I don't know why either. I'm going to give you the dark matches. Dark matches, we had Bradshaw and Blackman. The Oddities took on Los Boricuas.
Hey.
Without Savio.
Oh, no Savio.
No Savio. Farouk took on Godfather. Scorpio right. took on Jeff Jarrett. Those are the dark matches.
Those make a lot more sense than the ones we just got.
Scorpio and Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett on the dark match. He was just working the co-main.
Yeah, you're right. He must have pissed somebody off.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Main card, we got Al Snow's taking on Mark Mero. That should be fun, right?
Yeah.
The DOA and the LOD are going to be in 6-man action, so looks like they're going to rekindle the flames of that lost love.
Great.
Fucking assholes. Christian's taking on Taka Michinoku.
Christian!
Or Michinoku. Val's taking on Goldie. So that'll be something. Match that I'm very much looking forward to. We've seen it once before. We got D-Lo's taking on the X-Pac. The X-Pac. Why would I say that?
The X-Pac.
Is the. Yeah, all right. Bangers versus the Outlaws. That should be fun. Ken nice. Versus Mick. Rock versus Mark Henry. Huh. The Fenation is crumbled at this point.
Falling apart?
Must be. And then the main event, we have Kane versus the Taker for the vacant championship with Steve as the referee. So they got some real bullshit going on.
So the same three guys from this main event.
Yep.
Just in a different configuration.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll watch it. We'll find out.
All right. Sounds good. I want to thank you for tuning in. We are now halfway through season number 10.
Nice.
We'll be back next time with Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
And go scoop the dumpster bag. Pull one out of there.
That's what Kevin. You're gonna let on in there. So. Let's go. Let's slide out of there. Don't slide it into the wall, though. I'm still missing that Dale Earnhardt.